Hey everybody, it's 1981, and it's time for Every Saturday Morning.
And now,
3, 2,
like, oh my god, it's 1981. That sounded like Sandra Bernhardt. I love you. I'm jivingly excited.
You gotta mouth breathe a little more. Rosie.
Hey, I'm Adam Fair.
And I'm Dusty Griffin. You know, Adam, being back in 1981 as we are, we started with 88. We flew back to 66.
Oh, you're right.
Now we're back at 81. And I just look at this lineup. And I just think, I see the names. I see Scheimer. And
this is another case where it's hard to say that part where, you know, it's easy to talk shit about these shows, but a lot of hard work. Sometimes, no, I don't believe that at all happened on some of these.
Yeah, yeah.
The exact opposite is very much omnipresent.
Adam, somewhere in the world in 1981, there was hard work going into cartoons. Don't you think?
In flipbooks, in bathrooms, in clubs across the nation. Well, let me take you back to 1981, and these are the top films of the time. And of course, one of the top films was called Arthur.
Oh no!
Somebody's eating all your popsicle sticks.
I don't like liver and onions. Oh, my liver.
Why, there's a piano. The other top movies this year were Raiders of the Lost Ark on Golden Pond, Superman Dose.
Short round. I'll have a short round of bourbon.
Ooh, stripes. There's a stripe on your beer, sir. Is it doing criminal time? It should take the cannonball run. Back in Time Bandits. That didn't add up, but... Time Bandits was in the top 10 on top films. I thought that was a little film. I didn't
Terry
know.
Gilliam. Terry
I guess
Gilliam.
Breakout hit there.
Right?
For,
am I pronouncing his name right?
Yep. Gilliam. Terry Gilliam Anderson.
Terry Gilliam.
So we're looking at the eye again, taking a good close look at the Retina show series. The top shows at the time were The Dukes of Hazzard, Dallas, MASH, Filthy Rich, Simon and Simon, One Day at a Time, and Alice. I used to be sad.
One Day at a Time, by the way, is rebooted this year.
Yeah, they Rudy Booted that.
They gave
the old Rudy Booty, old and now it's back Rudy on TV.
You know, and MASH is so similar to Alice, too, right?
I mean, A-L-I-C-E.
They both started as a movie. They both went to TV.
Kicking myself for nothing. Was my favorite sport. The only good part about Alice was that theme song and its reference in Boot to the Head.
Good. Got a song.
That one?
Yeah, exactly. That is a new girl in town.
Oh, and she's
feeling good.
Got a song.
And a smile.
Neighborhood.
Neighborhood.
Things are great when you stand on your own two feet. And this girl's here to say, with some love and luck, things are going to be
so sweet.
Trimenin. A Beatrice product.
P.U.
That's wow. None of these. Know that. Why do we know that, Adam?
My parents, I've listened to that theme song 100 times. You know, I'm one of those people that bought those television's greatest hits CDs that have 75 songs, and then some of them, that's all you know about it forever, and others you just memorize because you're like, wow, some of these are the happiest little songs in the world. I really particularly like the Who's the Boss theme. That is a real beacon of hope that the show does not represent at all.
Yeah.
Oh man, if that Brand New Life, can you imagine?
Isn't the Who's the Boss theme, wasn't that the theme to one of your previous YouTube tests?
Yeah, I did do that. Hopefully, it's probably on that Roseanne one that's no longer very cool to air, but hey, you know, hindsight's 2020. Oh man, that's too bad about that Roseanne episode. It's more too bad about the reality of the situation, but my little thing's sad too. I did a top 10, but you know, it's fine. I can now, I'm going to have to address it somehow in future episodes. I can't really jive with that.
Adam, I feel for you because you really went to a lot of trouble to look at that series and point out what was important about it. And then just a couple of weeks after that, Rosie decides to go nuts. And
you know what? The same thing happened here on every Saturday morning when I really wanted to celebrate John Crispalusi's early work.
Oh, yeah. And then it turned out.
Oh, man. So who knows who I'll like next and they'll turn out to be a monster. I'm going to stick with dead folks. I'm going to go with, you know, Phil Hartman's work. Jim Henson's solid, I think.
Tex Avery?
Zappa was, you know, just as unlikable then as he is now. So nothing's really changed.
People that cannot scandal themselves.
They can't really be scandaled from the grave. So
we'll just never know.
Woo-woo-woo.
Speaking of the grave, 8 o'clock.
It's the Quickie the Koala Show. Now, why is death involved in this show?
Oh, well.
Other than the comedy dies.
Because, Adam, you know what? And let me first of all tell you that I read this. I read this just on the internet. This was not like approved, cited, etc. But I did read that Tex Avery dropped dead during the filming of Quickie Koala.
That's true.
And this was his baby. And he didn't. It wasn't his baby.
On set?
It was
his like hand
work.
On the table.
It said during production.
Oh well, yes, this is noted as Tex Avery's final thingamajig. 16 episodes of LARFs by Hanna-Barbera. It's the Quickie Koala Show. That's kind of how the theme goes. This is real bad.
Yeah, it is. You know, first of all, we got a derivative voice.
Okay, so the voice is Bob Ogle, who is Quickie Koala, but also Digger, the Mole on Shirt Tales, McBarker on What's New, Mr. Magoo, and Harry Halibut on The Pink Panther Show. So his choice here is to just do Droopy's voice, but
Droopy's sick.
Oh, it's good to meet you guys.
Is the joke that
Droopy's dying?
I don't feel so good.
That's the deal, right? It's like, oh yeah, what if Droopy was sick?
Stop me if I'm wrong here.
He's got Australian koala AIDS.
Is the joke like slow voice, fast name? Or, you know what I mean? Like, why do they call him Quickie?
They call me Quickie because of my bedroom prowess. I'm just kidding, ladies.
I got a staple stuck in the quick of my finger. It's very painful.
It's quakey.
Shouldn't it be? It's quakey, koala. But he has an American accent because that's what Droopy has.
I started this off by watching Robinson Crusoe.
Oh.
And, you know, Quickie, he always faces off with a wolf. And his name is Wilfred Wolf, right? And he's just as freaking derivative as every.
He's the Tex Avery Wolf.
He's the Tex Avery Wolf.
Slick Wolf, pretty much.
You know, they brought him over. They actually brought a wolf over onto Tom and Jerry that was from a previous Tex Avery cartoon.
Right, right.
You know, so, but this is a third wolf. This is Wilfred. And
you younger kids will remember that wolf from the Tom and Jerry kids as one of the lone adult still characters. That wolf shows up. Mm-hmm. What's it going on, Droopy? His voice here is John Stevenson, and he's doing his Paul Lynn impression, sort of. It's not a full commitment, but he is pretty femme. And he later went on to do Mildew Wolf, who used to be Paul Lynn's voice, but on Laugh Olympics, they couldn't afford him. So to pair him off with Snagglepuss, they got him to do the own kind. It's kind of a weird cross between Howard Cosell and Paul Lynn. It's a really nasal, how's it going, guys?
Oh my God.
So yeah. That voice is here.
You know, I had Dirty Dog later on has a little bit of Howard Cosell in
that's
it.
That's straight up Cosell, yo. Yeah.
So, but
finish up with your Quickie episode.
Yeah, Robinson.
Pretty quick.
Robinson Crusoe and the wolf is.
It's another fun adventure.
The wolf is out like he's treasure hunting on an island.
Where's me booty?
He's in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I hope you get mal de mer. That's French for seasick.
I could listen to Paul Lynde all day. So he's like, he's looking around and he goes over a sand dune and who does he freaking see? But his arch enemy, Quickie Koala.
Oh,
like, first of all,
serendipity do. I guess he didn't do that laugh. That was Charles Nelson.
No, he's got a tagline, which I'll say in a second. It really angers me.
Oh, right on.
I just want to ask you, is Quickie Koala stalking Wilford Wolf? I mean, it didn't seem like the wolf wasn't after Koala here. It's like the koala's showing all up in his mix.
He's like one of those characters that thinks he's friends with everything he meets. So he's like, sure thing, buddy.
Oh, yeah, he's like, we should team up. So, Adam,
we should do a three-way.
Before I drop this tagline, you know, any more thoughts on Wilford Wolf? What did you think?
Wilford Wolf, well, he could have been gayer. That was my note here. I watched, that is literally my note. I mean, what are we doing? I watched the episode Disguise the Limit. Wilford Wolf has insomnia and counts sheep. He goes 4, 5, 6, 6, 6. I was like, oh boy. And then he's awakened by the imaginary elephant he thought of jumping over. It makes no sense. So he's reading his Sleepy By book, and it says, hugging a teddy bear can soothe one to sleep. You know where this is going. Oh. A real bear's fine, too.
You just reminded me that I saw this one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he dresses as a vacuum salesman, which Quickie can kind of see through, and is just like,
whatever you say, Mr. Wolf. I'm just desperate for animal contact.
So he plans to make Quickie his own personal little teddy bear.
Yeah.
Quickie kindly plays along, calling him Mr. Wolf the whole time. Wilford ends up sucking himself up into the vacuum, so he has to come back as a recliner salesman. He ends up trapped in the cushions. He turns to drag, which, you know, took long enough. How's that the third option?
What are we, 18 minutes in here?
And he puts on a eucalyptus perfume because he knows Quickie will get a boner. And Quickie thinks it stinks, and several skunks turn up to gang rape Milford.
Whoa. Jesus.
What kind of pickle have I gotten myself into this time? Time for some real stink dick. The wolf returns as Quickie's long-lost brother, but then a giant bear walks in and mistakes him for his wife and force hibernates with him.
Oh.
Wilford's like, fine, I just want to go to sleep with something. Quickie's voice is disgusting. I don't mind Wilford so much because it's a poor impression, but Quickie's is a really poor impression.
Well, there's just no separating it from Droopy, right? I mean,
it's like that, like Droopy's like final voice, like you got to go to the hospital and see Droopy's dying.
Oh, it's so nice you guys came. I'm so happy.
Visiting time's over.
I can't even do his voice, but hello, all you happy hospice nurses.
It's a bad Quickie, that is.
So, Adam.
So, who else was on this funny animal show?
Before we get onto that, I just want to share one thing about Wilford Wolf.
Oh my god!
Which is he's got
he's
this
dead.
He's got this little thing that he does over and over. It's his tagline.
We don't talk about that. Oh, that.
And what happens is Quickie will say
gives him one.
He's like, Wilford, you know, were you aware wolves can fly? And like, you know, when Wilford will be like,
what?
Fly? And he steps off a cliff, and then he's like, they can't actually fly. And he's like, I think he's got something there.
Oh, that's his catchphrase?
Yes, he says multiple times. I think you're on to something there, Quickie. Is that a bad, that's a terrible Paul Lynn, but I'm just shaking my head.
Yo, even the worst is in the top five when it comes to Paul Lynn.
Hey, that's gotta be a 50s radio drama line, doesn't it, Adam? Mm-hmm. As sure as I sit here. And that's all I got on.
Oh, yeah, also this show has a wraparound with the Bungle Brothers.
Really? I didn't catch what is that?
They're dog performers. One is stupid and one's short with a lisp. With a lisp! Voiced by Michael Bell and Alan Melvin. They do cheap pratfalls. That's all. I just thought I'd mention it.
Adam, did you
not
know,
funny.
Did you know Annie Potts did an uncredited voice on there?
What?
Yeah, weird.
This suffers from Hanna-Barbera cryptic credits where it's like, I don't think that was the three people that they listed.
Hell yeah, there was a mountain of cryptic credits. I think Peter Cullen.
Sorry, HB Prod, you guys do the like bad credit work with your reruns.
Yeah,
for decades. Who else is on this show?
Oh, you mean who? Well,
who's the star of this thing?
Who's in the subplots, the sub shows? You got
Yeah.
You got Crazy Claw.
Crazy Claws. All right. I guess I should. He talks like Groucho, right? Sorta.
He is not compelling.
Oh, we're in agreement. That's my literal take on Crazy Claws.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing some picture of Crazy Claws as a kid, and I thought, oh, that could be funny. Like, his claws can do crazy stuff. Like, he could ride down a hill on him or something.
But no.
This thing is a ripoff of too many things. Yeah. So it's a wild cat who sounds like Groucho, and it's voiced by Jim McGeorge, who we know as Captain Horatio Huff and Puff from Beanie and Cecil.
Oh, cool.
Still working. He evades the stupid fur trapper Rawhide Clyde, voiced by Don Messick, and his snickering dog Bristletooth, voiced by Peter Cullen.
Bristletooth.
Snickering dog, that's another Saturday morning staple there. This takes place in the U.S. National Park, run by Ranger Rangerfield, voiced by Michael Bell. Ranger Rangerfield.
Ranger Rangerfield cannot stop spouting trivia.
Ooh.
And, right? That's his shtick.
Like, they just walk around their rote cartoon making really bad, wrecked him, I killed him, kind of jokes, I'm cold, really? Well, I'm crazy cold.
that actual joke does appear on there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. He looks like Dingbat and Heathcliff had sex. Maybe that's why they were separated. not great design. He looks kind of scribbly. You know what I mean? One more take on that design, maybe finalize some of those points.
Adam.
Oh, Crazy Claws.
Lot of character. There's not a lot of character to him, to his design.
No, it's just Groucho jokes, and he just seems to. It's a bad ripoff of Sneasley and Breezily, which was already a bad ripoff of Yogi Bear. I watched The Ice Rage. Ranger Rangerfield is giving Crazy Claws shit for not helping him, even though he's a cat, on his trip up to Mountain Kibby. He makes him go. Clyde and BT plan to ambush them via rolling snowballs. That's another thing. We're going to see a lot of Saturday morning rolling snowballs. Sounds perverse.
It's time for my Saturday morning rolling snowball.
You know I like a snowballing in the morning.
Snowballs end up crushing the people who push them, of course. While the Ranger and Crazy Claws continue lame jokes, Clyde plans to jump ahead, but he ends up stuck in the ice. Clyde comes at him on a sled, but Crazy Claws, finally using his claws, by the way, whittles up a false claw duplicate, which Clyde takes off a cliff. Stupid. Clyde and Bristle try making an avalanche, but just blow themselves up. The mountain crumbles beneath them. They land on the sign that Ranger Rangerfield was going to put up.
It's not...
Well done.
It's not original. It doesn't look good. And the jokes are bad one-liners.
Yeah.
As bad as they could possibly get.
Those claws were not crazy. No. That's my take. I thought the claws were going to be a constant thing, but they didn't come up. But once in this,
these jokes are like vaudeville, don't you think?
They were these are the last time. All these jokes are going to expire today. We got to put them in one cartoon.
Yep.
Crazy Claws.
Yep.
Now.
So I don't recommend Crazy Claws.
Yeah, I don't want to even think about.
Claws. You know what? I don't recommend Quickie Koala. I'm about even. I'm even with Quickie Claw.
Jeepers! I'm sorry you didn't like my show. But there's one more cartoon!
Yeah, tell us about it, Adam.
Yo, let's watch the Dirty Dog.
Dirty Dog?
This is Dirty Dog.
I talk like Howard Cosell.
I'm a vagrant Labrador retriever who lives on the streets in a garbage can with Ratso the Rat.
Actually, Adam, Ratso is a rat terrier dog.
Is he? Yep. Oops.
Yeah, but you don't... You won't know it. You won't know it till you watch three episodes.
Well, fuck, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
He's voiced by Marshall Efron, who was Sloppy Smurf, Stanley the Fluffy Dog, and Hunger Second Head. Does that mean anything to you? Apparently, he was a transformer.
I'm sorry. You're talking about Ratso.
Yeah.
What did you say? I was looking at it.
he did the voice of Hunger. The second head. I guess.
Head on the right.
It's that magenta guy right over there.
Head on the right, then.
third shelf down, third from the left.
I guess the right. Well, wait, where was it animated? Then the left right paradigm.
So, Adam, I can tell you for sure that this will be in season two, which is 1986. He did that.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the animal drifters are hassled by Officer Bullhorn. Does this sound like close to any cartoon we've?
Yogi the Bear.
Where have I heard this before? Maybe Top Cat, perhaps. GTC, looks like they stole your show. Yeah, like somebody else is doing it. Gross. Why is this a cartoon? Also, how is a dog homeless? And then he's going to get arrested by the police? Because in the one I watched, I watched Pigskin Pooch at the city dump. Dirty and Rats. Oh, God, what terrible names. Plan to attend the Super Duper Bowl, but they're nabbed by Bullhorn in a net. And he goes, I'll get you this time, you moochin' pooch, for not having a license for himself? The officer...
somebody else's problem, actually, doesn't it? I mean,
I really don't know he's like on Dirty Dog the second he gets up. So, man, dog can't find a break. The officer drops his Super Duper Bowl ticket, and Ratso... hogs it for himself, but Dirty whomps him with his umbrella, which he always has, like a cane. And then they, on their way to go sneak in, I guess, additional people, they pick up like a group of kids, a group of pups that Dirty Dog lies to about his various glory days playing the old Pigskin. But then Officer takes a ball to the head and goes, you're coming with me, Mr. D. And Dirty shows him his ticket, which he plans to use to honor these poor children lying, and escapes. Officer Butthurt eventually figures it out and chases our gang to the field. Ratso immediately dimes on the kids when caught. He's a real piece of shit. Bullhorn ends up crushed by football players, and then Dirty hands Ratso a football and punts him over the field line as revenge. Best of Friends. What a weird, gross, stupid cartoon.
You know, I want to say it's...
What?
It's un...
Midnight Cowboy, the animated series, sort of? Why? Mm-hmm. You know what? That X-rated movie is so popular. If only it were about a dog and, like, instead of blowing dudes, he, like, I don't know.
Dirty might as...
Scams lollipops out of the local candy vendor.
He's so blunt. I mean, he might as well be Poochie, though. There's nothing to him.
Yeah, he's 1981 Poochie, I guess. But I can't believe they put him in dirty rags. And he's got, like, a hat that's, like, open at the top like a can. And, like, he's a real garbagey looking.
Oh, yeah.
And his name's Dirty.
Yeah. I mean, we had Hobo Joe last week.
No one wants to put out for Dirty Dog. It's another Saturday night in the dumps.
Looks like I'll be licking spam cans again.
Here's a big fat fart. The highlight of my evening. So, Quickie Koala's a weird rank show. I don't really care for this show.
Me either.
And I was curious.
We have not had a good dog character.
Oh, man.
In 2 weeks, Adam.
Oy.
We didn't have one last week, and now we're part of the way into this, and we don't have one still.
Oh, man. Any final dirty thoughts?
No, not really. You know, like I said earlier, Frank Welker and Peter Cullen, Megatron and Optimus Prime are in this one. But, they're about to be in every show this morning.
Yeah. So...
Don't catch this. Don't catch it.
So, let's talk. It's 8:30. Let's have a conversation about Trollkins.
Oh, I know.
You can't find this show... I don't believe it was on VHS, and it's not available on anything. So, hey, Trollkins fans, good job. This was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. So what I heard, let's just guesstimate, because there's nothing about Trollkins. It's a lost media situation now until it gets re-uploaded by YouTube, which it's not on. Hanna-Barbera acquired the rights to the Smurfs, and using that logic, they were like, well, we can do any Smurf-like thing we want in addition, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So they developed this alongside Smurfs, which premieres this year, so we'll do it next week. as the, well, we'll do the Smurfs. It's a little immature, so why don't we do, you know, something cool, something rad, something now, something 81. So it's Smurfs meets Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, the number one show on television. Right?
Right? I mentioned it earlier.
But only in that they're hicks, right? I mean, you know.
Who knows? They look really dumb. They look like greeting card scratch and sniff characters.
They're each a different color, which I usually like, but
great.
I wouldn't know because, like Adam said, you can't watch it.
Can't watch
it. Motorcycles are involved.
It's a race of trolls that had green, blue, and purple faces and lived in an underground.
Actually, a tree.
Tree. Community called Troll Town.
That's what it said when I looked this up. You know, it was like, they live underground, actually in a tree. And I was like,
yeah,
wow,
good note.
It's more thought.
All right. So it's the adventures of Blitz, Pixley, and their pet companion, Fluky.
Yeah.
Blitz's father.
Hey.
Mayor Lumpkin.
Is Fluky a dog?
I guess.
Because guess who does his voice?
Oh, you're right.
Frank Welker.
Welker's doing that dog noise.
The only dog voice in town.
And then Pixley's father is the sheriff. So there's all kinds of drama going on in Troll Town. Mm-hmm. But most of the people want to race.
We're choppers.
So let's imagine what an episode. I'm guessing this was sort of a races show, but the opening credits give me some sort of, it gives me Smokey and the Bandit vibes. That's what I thought this was. I thought there was like a, you'll never get past Buford T. Mushroom Cap. Them troll boys.
I wish your darn mushroom cap had been in it.
Ding. So Grub Trollmane was voiced by Michael Bell. Michael Bell, you'll know.
Sounds familiar.
He's been on the show several times. He was on the Plastic Man show. He was Dr. Octopus on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. He was Zan and Gleek on Super Friends.
That's next week, by the way.
So if you like Zan, he was Lex Luthor as a young man.
Nobody likes Zan and Gleek.
Of course, he was Mark on Speed Buggy. He was Grouchy Smurf, Lazy Smurf, Handy Smurf, and Johan.
Mm-hmm. They said the villain here taught like the Chopper Gang. Wheelie and the.
Okay, and that voice was a Paul Winchell voice.
Yeah,
who was Zummy Gummy. So it's the Zummy Gummy voice times 100. It's like gotta get a smap here. I mean a pap smear. He would always do that kind of.
Paul Winchell did,
weird example.
He did TV roles too, right?
He was a ventriloquist for a long time. Had his own radio ventriloquism show.
Mm-hmm. He plays He plays the mayor here. It sounded kind of funny because it said he's like he's brash and like always, you know, like going off half cocked and you know.
Who the hell else? Okay, Jennifer Darling was Pixley. Terrible name.
Yeah.
She was on Moondreamers, Aladdin, Capital Critters. She was Graham's Bear on Care Bears. Okay.
Graham's Bear, oh.
She was Ariel on Dink the Little Dinosaur. She was Dr. Rhododendron on Darkwing Duck.
Be Poison Ivy.
Oh, she was on Space Cats. Princess Savina on The Smurfs. Miss Snarly on Tailspin. She was Irma on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There we
Sweet
go.
Sweet Irma.
Great way to go out.
Hey, Adam, did you know...
Jeepers!
Peter Optimus Prime Cullen is on here, uncredited role.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he under additional voices? Looks like Mel Blanc, Scatman Carruthers.
Yeah, Mel Blanc.
Billy Hayes, Ken Mars, Hal Smith, John Stevenson, and Alan Young, Scrooge McDuck. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Alan Oppenheimer. And Steve Spears is getting some voice work here as Blitz.
It's like it's like we're talking about a fantasy team here. You know, like we're talking about the show that we'll never see.
I wonder if it was just like
I can tell we're both interested too. We're like, what? Paul Winchell and what?
So Blitz is the main character. Blitz is Steven Spears. His voices include nothing of note. So it can't be like that's probably what that sounded like. Jeepers, guys! I'm guessing one of those generic kind of voices.
I love the Smurfs. I probably would have enjoyed this.
We're out of mushroom caps to power our troll berries to get us back into the love sphere. I don't know. They just...
I didn't mind Willie and the Chopper Bunch. And as a kid, I liked Dukes of Hazzard, so I would have maybe.
Maybe this is what this was like, a Thunderdome situation. Like,
can we just get beyond Trollkin?
Beyond Trollkin Dome.
No Trollkins. Adam, if anybody can find those Trollkins and you know what we're talking about, because this feels like a show everybody said they saw. I'm like, you're thinking of something else with trolls.
Yeah, my wife thought she saw it.
Them ain't the trolls I'm talking about.
And she might have, but.
I'm talking about the Trollkins.
Yeah, it was Hanna-Barbera too, so it was probably good. Let me slow down.
Let's move on to something good.
It could have been good. I don't want to go on record with that.
It's 9 o'clock. I want to spend an hour and a half watching the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show.
Man, y'all, when this came up and me and Adam watched these all week, you know, and when I saw that hour and a half block, I just posted it on Adam's Facebook. I was like, hour and a half.
I was like, oh man, that'll take some of the pressure off.
This is the biggest block so far.
Hour and a half of Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner.
Yeah, they can't even call it the hour. Because it's an hour and a half, you know? So, Adam.
Cut the lights. This is it.
I don't mean to run all over you here, but let me just say they ruined the theme song.
Oh, really?
Oh.
What is it at this point?
Oh, I couldn't sing it anymore. Oh, man.
The show. This is it.
It's like an early Beatles-ish.
Really? It got to these guys, too? You're right.
It's that Roadrunner song.
That one's bad, too. Do they cut to the Looney Tunes playing in a band for the opening credits? That'd be terrible.
I'm
on the lookout for those. So what? You know what I wanted to talk about? The drunk stork. Remember that there was a cartoon character who got drunk and misdelivered babies to the wrong people?
Hell yeah, he punched the time clock.
If you ran or sleep or snow or sleet. That stork's the best.
That's a great one.
So he was in about 6 or 7 cartoons. The one you want to watch, I think, is Stork Naked, where Daffy Duck's wife is knitting like a tiny sweater. Daffy's like, oh, thank you. And like, oh, it's a little small. And she's like, oh, Daffy, it's for our friend the stork's bringing me. And he's like, it's that stork again. It's that stork again. He just starts. He builds a pit of alligators that he puts in the basement, and they continue to be a problem for the rest of the show. Subtext
here. This is where he'd be thinking about an abortion.
I know. Right? That's the whole time I was like, "This is about abortion."
Yeah, I'm gonna have to push that stork down the stairs.
You can't just board up your walls because that there.
I like it though. I like the premise. You know,
he acts like a postman. He just continues like, "Oh, they want this baby. They're gonna get this baby."
Forgive me. Did you say
they don't want that baby?
Did you say there were half a dozen Stork episodes?
There's about 6. Cool, with 2 kind of just being cameos of a stork under pressure.
He shows up in the end.
The one where he gets drunk is in 1955. Stork Naked.
Hell yeah. All right, so yeah, I'd like to check.
But he came about, I think, in 1946, in the classic Clampett cartoon, Baby Bottleneck, where Daffy and Porky have taken over for the overworked storks. But by mid-50s, he's drunk. Now, I'm assuming that the drunk stork that Warner Brothers invented was a parody in some way of Disney's Mr. Stork, the Sterling Holloway voiced. stork that brings Dumbo to the circus.
Is he like, I'm a stork that's sick?
Oh, Mrs. Jumbo. That's what he sounds like.
Sounds like Sterling Holloway.
It is Sterling Holloway. And he also appeared in another cartoon. He was kind of a breakout character. He was in Lambert the Sheepish Lion, where he also fucks up. So, like, storks not knowing how to do their job sober or not seems to be a cartoon mainstay.
That trope.
Delightful.
I dig it.
So I recommend all those cartoons. There's Go Go Goliath, where I think he delivers a giant baby. There's Pappy's Puppy, where he keeps delivering like Hector the Bulldog puppies that torture Sylvester, and by the end Sylvester chases him off with a shotgun.
Hector, yeah, he looks kind of like
Mark Anthony.
Yeah,
they're kind of the same guy.
He's in the one where he's in the ghost house.
And there's a 1979 Bugs Bunny Mother's Day special that I need to find because I'm assuming that's a bunch of new drunk stork footage.
Yeah.
I hope it's like a job assessment where they're like, Mr. Stork, you've been doing a really bad job. I see it through to the end.
Hey, fellas. Man, I caught some Roadrunners, and I tried to look up some from the 80s, and I found some kind of weird ripoff with, like, a low frame rate. Have you seen any of that?
The poorly done Roadrunners that look kind of... They look... Like, cheap versions of
they
them?
They look really
cheap.
That's what...
They were making those near the tail end. Like, some of the last Looney Tunes were, like, a couple of Roadrunners and a couple of Speedy Gonzales versus... Daffy Duck. They're a weird combo.
They almost look Flash animated to me. I don't know. You know, but...
Well, then there was a couple that were made that went before, like, movies. There's that one where it's, like, Wile E. Coyote's a baby and his dad's like... I think his dad's Stan Freeberg. He's like, I don't want to hear another word till you catch that Roadrunner. And that's why... That's the way that goes.
That's funny.
I also liked those, like, those CG Roadrunners from the Looney Tunes show.
Yeah, I like those fun. Too. I like those. I've seen those.
Those didn't suffer. I think we've talked about those before.
I think we have talked. Yeah.
Have you ever seen any of the Roadrunner crossover episodes or cartoons? There's 1963's Hairbreadth Hurry, which Bugs Bunny stands in for the Roadrunner who's sprained a giblet. Mm-hmm. And he's taking fast pills.
What?
To be the Roadrunner speed. And
I gotta say, I'm just, Adam, doing the show, I'm disturbed at how many times these cartoon characters resort to some kind of...
Fast pills.
I can think of three off the top of my head.
Right? There's no need to fear it 1 second. Yes. Underdog is here!
Yep. And Mighty Mouse.
Criminals. Oh yeah, that's right.
Let me sniff this flower.
Classic flower high. Yeah, this Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote crossover is... one of the only times when Wile E. Coyote doesn't talk to him and doesn't say super genius. Also, there was one of the last cartoons. It was the Wild Chase, where it's Speedy Gonzales versus Roadrunner in a super race, and Wile E. Coyote and Sylvester just kind of get in each other's way.
That's interesting.
The end. I believe that was
a... How's the art look?
Freeling. It's fine. We're just getting near the end. Like, that's from 65. So, they're trying... These cartoons suddenly kind of go from looking like Disney quality to Huckleberry Hound level. It's a rough go, as we'll see as this goes on. And later in the show, there'll be another show. There'll be a show in the show that goes from being really fully animated to not animated at all.
Really? I wonder if it's what. Yeah.
So yeah, that's all, folks.
It's, you know what? It's great stuff, folks. You know, if any chance you get to watch Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, just do it. Just do it. Right? Am I wrong?
That's what they're here for.
Yeah, I mean,
watch those Stork episodes.
We get to these, and they're in almost every lineup. And then all I do is I try my best to find some from the certain years, but as we all know, there's a blackout of Looney Tunes, which ran from some...
Some would say it never really came back on.
I want to say,
yeah. Well, yeah, like by the late 60s, there's no more theatrical cartoons being made.
And then Bugs Bunny does not appear in a new cartoon. I want to say, please forgive me, I'm bad with numbers, but I want to say Bugs Bunny does not appear in a new cartoon from 1982 to 1988.
There's one in there. There's a bad Yosemite Sam cartoon where I can't remember. It's like Ed Asner or something doing the voice of Yosemite that comes out of nowhere that they're just like, eh, make a new one. I like those.
It's a drought.
I can't for the life of me remember what it's on, but man, oof. Woo, boy. No. Speaking of classics, what's going on at 10:30?
10:30 a.m., y'all. You're way up by this time.
It's the Popeye and Olive comedy show as opposed to their dramatic work.
Comedy show.
Season 4 of 4, Hanna-Barbera. So I remember watching this show, and it's your poor man's Popeye. Like, the Popeye is too violent, they've decided. So now he kind of just throws people away. He just tosses them. The end. He just gives them a chuck. I kind of wonder why Hanna-Barbera just didn't invent a new character named like Chuck or Tossy or Throwy or Launch.
Yeah. Hang Time.
Peepie, Piepie, and Poopie return here.
Gee, Uncle Popeye.
Are they Popeye's illegitimate children? Because he's a sailor and they all have his head.
Yeah.
Why aren't you my father?
The cast is Jack Mercer, who's the original Popeye, somehow still alive in 1981, still doing Popeye. Probably because it didn't require very much work to be this Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
I only say what's happening in my scene.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, were they leaning on the isk, ask us stuff a little more in this? Like, he's like, Welsk, Olivsk, Alsk.
Yeah, they thought that would fill up. Because they used to just let him roll, remember? Yeah. In those old ones, they're like, just talk, mumble. Man, and here he's like...
Suddenly they're being really strict on him to, like, yeah. They're like, Popeye talks.
Or he's
like
just
this.
Old.
Yeah.
Or he's
yeah.
like, I'll just say these few lines and be on my way.
I think they think it's going to be funny. You know, mm. And it's not really. It's funny for a second, and then it's, you're like, okay, we get it.
Imagine pitching Popeye... But without the parts that are good, like the violent hits and fights and stuff and the weird curmudgeon-y characters.
No,
then
no.
That's what this is. It's them. It's a weird old man with shape-shifting powers. Because he doesn't even eat spinach and can turn himself into shit. And Olive is just kind of pushy and weird.
And Bluto talks a lot more.
Oh, boy.
He talks so much.
This is an odd conceit. And there's no vibrant animation here either. They've been, you know, color form readied. Instead of being squash and stretch, they're just stretched.
You know, it's a notch better than a lot of this other stuff.
Mm.
We've seen it's better than
at least it's colored. It's a vibrant show, all right. It's lovable still, characters.
You still got painted backgrounds.
Ooh.
You know, but
oh my gosh, I watched Bula Bula Hula, where Bluto is hunting for a parrot who knows the location of the lost temple of Bula Hula, which, coincidentally, Olive and Popeye are vacationing on. Olive wants to buy a parrot who calls Popeye her father and offers the treasure location. Whatever. It's pretty serendipitous.
Squawk, he's kind of old for you.
But then he starts sucking up to him, and he's like, I think I like him after all. Bluto swings by on an endless vine. So here's an appearance of a cartoon conceit where you see endless vines that just you can just swing across
right.
A mile.
Yeah.
He tries to grab the bird, but Popeye does it back. And Bluto has to set up a jungle lemonade stand. And Popeye and Olive get trapped in a giant pineapple ring slice. I feel like I'm on drugs. Popeye rolls while Bluto shakes some trees, causing an avalanche of coconuts to fall in a way they don't. So Popeye's awash. But he uses his shape-shifting powers to instantly cream the coconuts and turn into a giant blender and traps Bluto in a big pie, like you do.
What the?
Without the power of spinach? I don't think that's very possible. The parrot reveals the temple, but Bluto runs in front of them. They don't see him somehow, switching the hidden panel sign, which they have a sign for. They give chase to Bluto, who uses a grease spill. There's another thing we see way too much on this show. Grease spills. On cartoons and Saturday morning, there's always a bad grease spill. He stops Pop, who all end up in a dungeon. Bluto runs out with the jewels and uses one to hypnotize Olive momentarily, leaving Popeye in prison with the walls closing in. Before he can drive off, the hypnotism wears off. Popeye saves himself with spinach, of course, turning into a rocket. Then he turns into Tarzan, who yells and pulls the grass out from under Bluto like a rug. Yeah. So he goes flying, the end. They end up letting Bluto have the jewels because the local island back taxes are pretty high. And Olive goes, sometimes it pays not to win, right, Popeye? And Bluto runs away half naked, going, you'll never get these pants.
Okay.
Good take on contemporary society, 1981 Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
Stinky.
Yeah, so like...
I think that was called Popeye Treasures, too. It had the same thing Richie Rich had, where little segments were like...
Oh, great.
Like a comic strip. Date Fate. Eye Style. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, I hope...
is there any saving grace?
To this show? This is... Okay, first of all, there's a lot of fourth wall breaking in this that I noticed. A little more
Don't
bad.
Get hurt.
Remember when I used to move more? Well, you kids at home know.
I don't know. You know, I caught one where they had a Popeye copter and a Bluto copter.
What?
Yeah, and they were
really? Did they have their faces on it?
Oh, I can't remember. It had like a logo, and they both
should have a big pipe sticking out of it.
They both owned competing radio stations. You know,
whoa.
It was just like whatever you want, guys. You know what I mean? And I kind of
spinach
felt,
talk.
It's not the same dynamic as before. It's, the whole thing is kind of like Popeye needling Bluto.
God, Popeye radio. Popeye radio. Could you imagine? Good for you.
No.
Series of farts and hums.
And I hope I watched all the right stuff here. Because
I think you did.
I caught, you know. Prehistoric Popeye.
Yep, he's in the mix.
I believe. I watched a few of those. That's just a bunch of Flintstones jokes. You know?
There's still spinach, though, right? But it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it like the Ringo Starr film Caveman? Is anything?
No. It's bad.
Look at that caveman go.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of prehistoric Popeye?
I didn't catch one of those. I caught one with private olive oil.
Oh yeah, I caught that too.
Which it's not bad.
Can I ask you something? Am I wrong here, or is
you got deja vu or something?
Well, yeah.
What do you mean?
First of all, isn't their commanding officer just the commanding officer from Private Benjamin?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Get out of my way, that little lady.
Am I thinking of the right show? They're commanding officers from some other show. She's based on a real life lady or something.
What?
Like.
Bertha Blast?
Swear to God. Yeah, like she's based on Private Benjamin's commanding officer.
Zugga wugga what?
I'm telling you, Adam, if you caught it, you'd be like, oh, she's a short lady with
red hair.
Yeah, and she yells just like that. It might even be her same voice.
Was this a lady in a movie?
Yeah.
It was based on?
Yeah, Private Benjamin started as a movie and then became a television show.
Because, yeah, you know what? It's probably who Dusty Town is based on. Who'd always tell the SCTV character who was like a... she's sort of a barmaid that would tell dirty jokes to men. And she'd go, isn't that cute? Isn't that true? After everything she said. Yeah.
And she has a kind of like a little Ethel Merman to her. She's
yes,
just like, oh,
exactly.
I know.
You can imagine her in a prison film too, like as the old one. It's like, you're new here, aren't you?
That's how y'all run the place.
The lady in question. So we're talking about Private Olive Oil. Olive has joined the army with Alice the Goon. I don't know what comment that is.
Alice the Goon, yeah, and the
a little bit of Jeep, I think too.
Jeep. I was gonna say they got the Jeep.
The Jeep shows up intermittently. He's not a guarantee if you're into the Jeep. He doesn't appear here.
First of all,
so much to take in. Like they took Alice and the Goon, and they took Olive Oil.
Yeah,
the Noodle Woman.
Did you just sit there like looking at Alice the Goon, thinking, "I wish I was watching those old Goon episodes"?
Because she looks insane. Yeah. Those character designs. Compared, like the Bertha Blast character, like Hanna-Barbera also did this while they were doing Laverne and Shirley in the army. So it's weird that they did two exact same shows with two little. It's weird that this one doesn't have the little pig person and that one doesn't have the boss lady. Mm-hmm. I think some papers got mishandled.
So a pig person would have been a lot more acceptable in a Popeye cartoon,
right?
Yeah,
because they got animal stuff going on.
And then in Laverne and Shirley wouldn't have to say a commanding pig. They could have just been like,
"Let's join the army, Cheryl."
I hate.
Oh no! Wait, it goes Laverne. Let's join the army.
Oh, Laverne.
This is a horrible idea.
That's a great way to meet men.
At least we on Wall of Oil.
What do you think about pigs? You ever think about pigs?
I had a dream where we were in the army with a pig.
Where's my kid? Where's your kid,
he
Cheryl?
He sounded like Horseshack.
Why'd your kid not appear in the series?
So, so they're Alice and Private Olive Oil are commanded by Sergeant Bertha Blast, voiced by Joanne Worley, who was on Laugh-In. But she was Armoire the Wardrobe in Beauty and the Beast. So most of you kids have seen her there.
Interesting. She wears
a buoyant personality.
She wears like a safari hat and has like a riding crop. You know what I mean? She's a short. She's like cartoon short. She's like two feet tall.
Rhea Perlman could play her in the movie version of Private Olive Oil. That'd be great. Whenever Shelley Duvall gets off her ass and finishes the Popeye live action duology.
Shelley Duvall. We see you.
Get it but, done. Yeah.
So, but she plays heavily into the action.
Alice has big furry arms and legs. I thought that was crazy.
You know, there's a lot about Alice. Didn't you think? I watched a few episodes of this.
It's kind of... I remember seeing this as a kid and being kind of hypnotized. Like, what? What happened?
What's going on?
1981?
I feel like I buy it better than Laverne and Shirley. That's like, I can buy it.
Well, yeah, they would never do that. Although they did that in an episode.
One episode.
Yeah, they didn't make a commitment.
Yeah. So
every day.
I don't know. You know, and
Sergeant Blast kind of sounded like Kevin Meaney to me. So I watched Alice in Blunderland, where they got to go up Mount Intrepid and gather spring water. The sergeant gets dropped a bunch, and you know, mm-hmm. they fall over each other a whole bunch. They take things too literally because Olive is way dumber than usual. She's reckless. Recklessly stupid.
Now I'm picturing the Jeep showing up. It's so weird.
He just pops in, right? Just like Quickie Koala?
Yeah. Does he wear a uniform in some parts?
Does he? Like a little hat? I think he does.
Yep.
Jeep's a really fascinating thing.
So's Alice the Goon.
Animal? Yeah, whenever they would go to the Goon Island on those Popeyes, it was so weird. They would put such weight to those characters. So
bizarre. Probably represents something, too.
Those goons are so funny just standing there.
Yeah.
They got those dead wall eyes and Olive Oil's nose, but a bit ahead twice her size.
And the old Popeyes were so rhythmic and repetitive. You know what I mean? They were like watching a cuckoo clock.
Yeah, you could time a watch to those cartoons.
Man, so that's what I'm saying. I was sitting here watching.
I missed that element watching these.
Me too.
But that shows how strong the designs of Popeye characters are. They could do nothing. It's like, well, that's funny looking. But
they're not getting kicked in the nuts as bad as Tom and Jerry this year.
Oh my God.
But that's later.
We're close. We're almost there. So that's a big what? For this version of Popeye.
Yes, not the one you want to check out, by the way. Check out any of the old ones. Any of them.
Definitely. 11 o'clock. Blame it on the Black Star.
This is not the rap duo with Mos Def and Talib Kweli. Different
That's
people.
Right.
This is Black Star, which is based on Thundar.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But based on? So it's definitely made at the same time.
You'll find about 10 citations saying that it was inspired by Thundar. And also a couple of elements from this inspired the He-Man cartoon.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Like, John Blackstar is pretty much He-Man.
Let's just say off the bat.
What's this show about?
You know, this guy
pitch named, me this show. What is this?
I'm going to be wrong on some of this, but this guy named Blackstar, he takes off. He's in like our time, and he takes off in a NASA ship, and then he goes through like a time tunnel, and he ends up at an ancient alien planet named something
like Sagar.
Yeah, it's That's boring. It's like Sagar.
Sagar.
Boring. And you know, so it's pretty much Buck Rogers, and he has a villain named Overlord, and they
That's
have,
convenient.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they have two swords that combine to form one sword.
That's right.
Right?
the power star sword.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is that they originally planned to do this also on He-Man, and they changed their mind.
But, they could have.
Yeah. And if you had the toys, they actually, you could snap the swords together. But anyway.
I bet this show made for good toys. Thundar did too. Although,
yeah.
Thundar is the superior show to this by leaps and bounds. I'm almost morbidly curious to watch more Thundar, but it can't get any better than the one I watched, I think.
Yeah. You know, by the way, Adam, I did read right before we went on that this did inspire a toy line.
Toys.
It's by Galoob.
Galoob.
Yeah. So that could be cool. I mean,
forget who absorbed Galoob.
You know, this is a little different than Thundar in that...
still Filmation, so it's the same company. And there's only 13 of these, by the way.
But this is Scheimer and Prescott.
That's the old Filmation crew.
Rotating logo.
Yeah, they had it on the planet in this one. I was like, oh, was this designed for this show? And they just like use it on all the shows. That's the Filmation way.
You know, is this better or worse, Adam? Let me ask you. Black Star does not happen on Earth, and Thundar does. So on Thundar, you're constantly like, "Well, this is the city of Manhattan."
I love that.
Millions died, you know. But on Black Star, it's just you don't have that.
It's wherever on Black Star. It's recycled backgrounds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do we got? We'll write an episode about that because I don't think we can pay these people.
It gives it less weight. Than Thundar.
Yeah.
Did you know that
everything's so easy for these characters? Like, these characters are designed, they have no problems. So John Blackstar, he's voiced by George DeCinzo, who has many credits, but he was the bad guy in The New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking.
Whoa.
Overlord was Alan Oppenheimer again, who was Skeletor.
Oh, really?
So that's the connection there.
Oh, hey, by the way, Adam, did you notice
Blackstar? I'm sure he probably said.
What? Man, watch She-Ra, y'all. It's hilarious. Anyway, Oppenheimer voiced all the villains on the show. Like,
yeah, this is a real everybody did everything with some Frank Welker to fill in the gap.
Yep, Frank Welker.
both the Overlord and Blackstar have a different piece of the sword. John is assisted by Warlock, the Dragon Horse. Elfin shapeshifter clone.
Oh, Welker was Burble, one of the Bobbits.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to them too. They're also assisted by Mara, the Enchantress, and the Magic Ex Machina. Like, she solves all their problems. Like, I'll take care of that. She was voiced by Linda Gary, who was Chromia. Anything to you.
Really? That's interesting. One of the female Transformers.
Liz Mara. She just took care of whatever.
That blue one right there is her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see it?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Jeepers.
Pretty cool, though.
So they live amongst the Trobbits.
Yeah.
Can you believe this shit?
And
when I saw this...
and they were like...
There's seven of them, too. Boo.
They're Ewoks.
Troll Hobbit dwarfs. Voiced by Frank Welker in the cast as these purple-white things with yellow clothes. They look dirty. They're bad.
Yeah, did you? Originally, they were going to do something with them, and then they decided they wanted them more like the dwarves or something like that.
They're like a useless version of the dwarves.
Yeah.
They kind of are like, they're like Keebler elfing it up, and oh, they're dumb.
Yeah. Adam, you know what's sad about this show?
Jeepers!
He never made it home. He got canceled and he never made it home.
He only had 13 tries.
He got in contact with the Earth at one point in this series.
So it's like Sliders.
Yeah.
I watched The Search for the Star Sword. A volcano erupts near Black Star's picnic.
Really?
And rock monsters attack our shirtless hero. Clone turns into a pterodactyl and knocks them over. They seek offers for the Overlord, Mara says as she uses magic to just toss them. They race to the Trobbits, who are in danger from the oncoming rock creatures. The bitchy, stupid little goofballs are dicking about when they spot the trouble in the distant canyon, so Upon going to investigate, they are immediately captured, but luckily Blackstar shows up and beats their stone asses.
Blackstar.
Unfortunately, the Star Sword accidentally falls into the canyon below, and BS has to fly down to retrieve it. The Trollops decide to follow, but take a much easier route, which they could have mentioned to Blackstar, but we're slow. Overlord realizes BS is missing his sexy sword and gloats to his half about his oncoming victory for a solid minute.
He got his own sword.
Ah, can you believe it?
I love the way that sword looks. It looks really
cool. It's pretty tight.
But
it looks like it would be a solid piece of plastic for the action figure. Like, oh, that holds up good. No little bullshit on it.
Did I read that one of them was based on Orson Welles? Was that Overlord's voice?
Oh, probably.
Overlord's voice, I believe.
I don't know. He didn't mumble about the food at any point.
Have you tried the ham?
I don't care for these.
You have the dark ham and I have the light ham.
I can't read this. It's trash. Mara eventually just uses her magic to lift up the sword, but it's too hot to touch. And the rock monsters get a hold of it. Warlock is literally bitch slapped by a pterodactyl. And then they're trapped in a cave with Clone. Meanwhile, the Trumpalumpkins have sailed to the canyon bay below on a pirate ship they made. They spot the monsters that they call lava rocks. Is that right? Yeah. And are also captured. Blackstar is saved by the lizard bird. From the lizard bird by a shark bird that turns out to be Clone. How they've escaped is never explained. They just show up. There's a battle they win by rolling a boulder at him. It's kind of high stakes and then nothing happens. This is, I wrote, one big who gives a shit show.
Yeah, yeah. I know Thundar, sir, and you are not Thundar.
Also, I thought this was Brave Star.
Adam.
I hoped this was Brave Star.
Can I tell you, Adam, I read in the unofficial trivia section of IMDb that originally Black Star was... Here's some things I read.
Okay.
One.
I love a good Black Star.
Rumored. Originally, Black Star was supposed to be a black man, right? And then they just changed their mind, right?
Is he Native American here?
Yes.
Sort of.
They allude to him being Native American, and but they don't...
I'd love to know how.
They don't play through with it, but they said, I read, that that led to Brave Star, which came something like 3 years later.
Oh. Right.
So, there you have it.
Wait a minute.
That's some nerdy shit.
Cigars just earth.
No!
In the past! I went back too far.
It's not bad. You know, really, you want
clunky.
You want to check out Thundar.
Yeah, exactly. Just go back to Thundar.
Just check out Thundar.
This shit's clunky.
If you run out of Thundar, watch some Blackstar and see what you think.
Once you go Blackstar, I don't know. Speaking of sexy men, it's 11:30. It's time for the Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro Hour. Mm-hmm. That's 2 hours. Wait a minute. Wait, 2, 4, 6. Okay, so it's an hour. It's an hour.
It's the adventure hour.
That's right.
By the way, it's the Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro adventure hour. Because I was really thinking at him about the order they had him in here. Like,
yeah, and I was wondering, are they short? Like, they're 20 minutes, right? Seems like this should be longer than this with those three shows. But it's two returning series plus the new adventures of Zorro. It's all the lean, sexy, gay action a little boy could handle.
You think there's a reason to this order? Tarzan, Lone Ranger, Zorro. What is it? They're older? Is it newest? No, it's oldest to newest? It is.
Yeah. It's also my order in fantasy. Like, I would definitely start with Tarzan. So Tarzan's a 1976 Filmation series returning with 36 episodes. So I didn't pay much attention to it at all.
Oh, you did?
I was like, oh, I'm going to see you again in 76.
Really?
To do the thorough look. Because boy, oh boy, did I not like the cartoons on this lineup. It was such a dredge. Oh,
see, ladies and gentlemen, this is where me and Adam are going to split on this episode.
Right, because, so were you into it?
Yeah, dude, I got to say, man, I like just thumbnailing them real quick. I would watch more Tarzan. Lone Ranger had it, you know, it was still not bad. It kind of reminded me of one of those old radio dramas, like Gunsmoke. And then finally, Zorro is a bit of a different beast.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just talk about it when we get to it. How about
right.
that?
Right. So let's. Okay. So just tell me a little bit about Tarzan, because I watched a second. I was like, it looks pretty good and older, clearly older. Why would they attach a 5-year-old show?
I think if you look at these, they jump forward about 7 or 8 years in between each. Right.
Oh, I see.
So Tarzan, first of all, is the oldest. And Adam, did you notice there's a lot of rotoscoping in Tarzan?
Is that why it looks so good, or at least the opening credits?
No, I think it really looks good. The whole thing looks good. There's a ton of rotoscoping. There's painted backgrounds. You know what I mean? Like,
he's gorgeous. I agree.
Each of these have a different flavor.
Who else is on the show? It's Tarzan and what? Cheetah, I guess? And sometimes Jane? Stupid Jane.
Was there even a Jane? I don't even recall seeing her, honestly. But
yeah, you know what's odd? They should just call this... Do Women Exist?
Yeah, because even when we get to Zorro.
Zorro, I really don't think women exist.
But you know what?
Well, that's not true.
Adam, I would watch more of this, actually.
Tarzan, yeah.
I would watch more of this.
Well, we're going to have to. At some point, we'll hit 76.
I've caught his old ass movies.
Boy, am I looking forward to 76.
I've caught the radio drama of Tarzan, which is, you're like, how the hell does that work, right? But.
Swing!
Could be worse, man. I'd watch this. So
it's quite an endless vine I just wrote in on. Endless vine. That's internet speak.
Yeah, yeah.
You make the joke. So The Lone Ranger is a 1980 series with its second season here. The voices are William Conrad.
There we go. He's the fat man from Jake and the Fat Man.
And for First Alert, remember? It was
really?
People that also fell and couldn't get up.
Hey, Adam, you know who else he was? He was Marshall Dillon on Gunsmoke on the radio.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is this guy?
I don't know.
Speaking of time tunnels.
I really love Gunsmoke, y'all. You should go listen to the Gunsmoke radio show. It's dope. It's dope.
Also, Tonto here is an actual Native American actor. Ivan Naranjo. He shares my birthday.
Adam,
sorry it took me a second to say your name. Life day, mate. He was on a couple Malcolm in the Middles too. So this is a good looking show, but man, I just can't. I just hate the Lone Ranger so much at this point, because it was like da da da. I'm like, again, really?
Well, do you recall?
I guess what else could it be?
Do you recall the '66 one was so stylish?
One looked like it had beer stains all over it, and that weird constipated look that he had on his face when he'd be like. We'd look left and right and then punch the screen. I liked that, sort of, but it was also so awkward.
It's like a Dexter's Laboratory type, you know?
Sure.
But this is different. This is modern. This is a little less rotoscoping.
Somebody liked to draw horses.
Yeah, and cities, right? And trains.
Which, those are not fun.
No.
So to have a show that's all horses... trains and cities.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Adam, this one's line drawn as opposed to the rotoscoping.
Oh, okay.
And the painting, I notice.
It's a good-looking cartoon.
Yeah.
But it adhered pretty tight to its source material to the point where I didn't care what happened.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple things about this, Adam.
I watched one called Blast Out, where scoundrels are going to use that newfangled dynamite to escape prison and rob some... horses and guns and mine carts, and you know, guess how it went. I didn't take notes. I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is just gonna result in them stopping them from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So dynamite, eh?
I watched The Black Mayor. Did you watch that?
The Black Mayor? No.
Yeah, they had these villains had trained this black horse to run out
to hate
and get people to and lead people back to get what? Trapped. Yeah, they like new people,
like a siren, but a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta ride that horse.
And it got it.
No, my folly.
No, it's like it lured Silver out, not the Lone Ranger.
Mm.
It lured his horse out. You know what I'm saying? And
whoa!
So what they do, and then the villains captured Silver. You know?
Okay.
But the weird thing about it was they just every time they talk about the horses, they were just like, "Look at him! Oh, there he is! Mm. Look at that musculature! It really he glistens.
That's nice. Glistens.
I
What glistens?
He's large. I've never seen such a magnificent beast. And when you think they're done, they're not. They're just like, he's high.
Then you hear those belts hit the floor.
Yeah, they really... It's really uncomfortable.
Hmm.
I mean, honestly...
You know, it's a pre-internet world. You can't really judge.
As usual, I was watching it. I was watching it with the wife. I thought, you know, and then...
don't watch porn in the living room! Oh, it's the Lone Ranger.
This is the second Lone Ranger I've made her watch. And
cruel world.
We were just cracking up because they're constantly like, look at him. I'll bet he's, you know, he could sire 70. You know, like, they're just...
fill a saddle.
Anyway. It's, yeah.
Sounds hot. Again, this show's just, boy. This was Boys Club.
Again, I slightly disagree with you on this one again, Adam. I would watch this probably... Maybe. I'd watch this still.
I kind of wanted to watch more of Zorro. Because it was so bonkers.
Yeah. First of all, he is like... He runs the city, right? I mean, he's like the mayor?
He's like... He's friends with the mayor or something. He's in the mayor's family or something like that. But he's also there with his boy toy. It really seemed like that was his boy toy.
I mean, folks,
sure, the island talks about it.
He has a sidekick, and his sidekick is this dude that wears a pink outfit. It's very similar.
Yeah, where Zorro wears dark clothes so you can't see him, his partner's like, well, of course I will wear the opposite.
A la Batman.
Miguel, voiced by Julio Medina. They fight the garrison captain Ramon, voiced by Eric Mason, and the double agent Gonzalez, voiced by Don Diamond, who is Chief Wild Eagle on F Troop. So, of course, get him on here.
F Troop. You know, first of all, folks, if you've ever seen Zorro, the fat character is very common.
Really?
Yeah, he occurs. He was in the live action TV show.
Is he always like half help, half in the way?
He always gets a Z cut on him.
Well, yeah, because he's got the room.
I think in this, the mayor gets the Z.
Ooh.
Or, you know, he's always like...
You didn't take the Z.
You're right. He must be the assistant mayor.
I watched Three's a Crowd, so I was like, ooh, yeah. Zorro has his hands full fighting off pirates and thieves. After the people's tax money, there's lots of sword action. And there's even a lady pirate who gets a little date rapey with Zorro while he's in captivity. Ramon gets in the mix too. Now there's swords everywhere. Zorro pulls a switcheroo and makes off with the cash during their cluster fence. On his way out, Zorro gives us a second of rudimentary Spanish, where he explains the difference between San and Santa. See ya!
Interesting.
So bizarre. Thanks!
Yeah. You know, I got one last thing here.
Well, I mean, the heat was on the page. You could see, like, the drawings clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Just the eroticism.
Did you notice this one? Did you notice this one looked more like anime?
Well, that's because the Filmation company outsourced it to Tokyo Movie Shinsha.
No way.
They made Animaniacs, Batman.
What?
Well, they animated.
Really?
For Animaniacs, Batman, the animated series, DuckTales, Spider-Man, and Gummy Bears. Listen, muchachos, you're messing with the wrong oath, though. Voices. The first Latin person to ever play Zorro.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Mr. Darrow. What's his first name? I want to get that down.
You know, I don't even know what my notes mean. I got Tempest written here. What's that mean?
Tempest.
Just Tempest. Oh, that's
Henry Darrow. He played Zorro.
That's his horse's name. That's it.
Yes, he had a horse named Tempest.
Yeah,
and
wow. It's very, you know.
And Henry Darrow went on to portray Zorro continually on Zorro and Son, this show, and the new Zorro, which ran from 90 to 94
on the Family Channel. Yes, sorry.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I'd kind of be interested in some more of this. I just don't want to watch. I'll watch Tarzan. I'll watch more Zorro. I can't take any more Lone Ranger. Like, the same two things happen over and over again. Like, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, you know, I might check out more Zorro just because I've always liked Zorro. Like, so that's all there is to it. I've always liked Zorro. I've watched the live action series, the cartoons.
Yeah, you know, saying you always like something is easy until it becomes 12:30 and it's time for the Tom and Jerry comedy show as opposed to their dramatic work.
Yeah, I get what you're saying here.
15 episodes of Filmation fun. Voices Frank Welker and Lou Scheimer.
This is Scheimer.
A real kick to the balls.
From Scheimer and Prescott that do all these shows.
Yeah, and oh man, he shouldn't be doing cartoon voices because they are bad. So first off, anytime I want to comment on Tom and Jerry and what's going on with it, I'm quick to be reminded that several people have their hands in the pot when it comes to determining where Tom and Jerry goes with whatever they're doing. So it's not always simple. Having said that, this sucks. There's no reason no one could have made this any better. This is the second Tom and Jerry made for TV production. Hanna-Barbera's was in 75. Back are Tom and Jerry fighting. They are now enemies. Hanna-Barbera made them friends. Spike, Tyke, Nibbles, Slick Wolf, Droopy, and Barney Bear appear here. Creative director Don Christensen worked for Disney from 37 to 41. He helped on Here Comes the Grump, Super President, and wrote such 40-centric Looney Tunes such as The Ducktators, Confusions of a Nutsy Spy, Scrap Happy Daffy, and Tokyo Jokio.
Is that the one where Daffy's a Nazi?
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw that one today. Yeah.
Turn out that light!
That's wild.
The music sounds like it's from a late 70s sex comedy, don't you think?
You know, like a Adam.
First
it sounds
of all, like a guitar lesson.
Am I right? This is the first post MGM Tom and Jerry.
Well, after the Hanna-Barbera show in 75.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay,
they tried that.
Yeah, you know, the art's bad. They use something called limited.
Everything? Yeah. Limited drawings.
It's something called limited movement animation. And I guess.
Oh boy, is it at work.
I didn't find much on it. I got it in my second.
This will make you long for the smooth rhythmic quality of a Dr. Katz episode.
Yep. It looks really bad. What I read about it was that it's just notorious because of its limited music selection.
And the synthesizers.
And not only does Tom and Jerry have a limited music selection, but every sub show on here, which is like Droopy, right?
Oh.
Features the same music as Tom and Jerry, just sped up and slowed down. And that's why it's so damn annoying, right?
This Droopy, I mean, Quickie Koala kind of sounded like a sick Droopy. This one just sounds like Droopy's gotten hit in the head. Mm. He's just slow.
I had jokes today.
The wraparounds feature Droopy telling horrible jokes with the rest of the cast. Here's an example, and check out how horrible the voice of Spike was. Spike the dog finds an umbrella in the trash.
What do we have here?
Opens the umbrella and water falls down on his head.
That's just another leaky umbrella.
Droopy approaches. Hello, Spike. What have you got there? An old umbrella?
Oh no, this is a new portable shower. Wanna buy it for a quarter?
Sure.
And he opens the umbrella and rain goes everywhere else.
Oh well, let's watch Tom and Jerry.
Adam, you know what strikes me as weird about this Droopy series?
Everyone's nightmare voices?
No.
It's like the nightmare version of everyone.
That's super weird. But one thing that's weird is apparently they couldn't get rights to the Spike from the original Droopy.
Oh, really?
And so this.
So he looks weird.
This Spike is actually the Spike from Tom and Jerry.
Huh.
Yeah, so he crossed back over. They couldn't get the original Spike, so they
so
got...
many. There are so many Spikes. When you think about it, like in cartoons, like there's just Spike, Hector, Mark Anthony, like they're all pretty much the same dog.
That's right. So that's what I'm saying.
Big mean dog.
They swapped them out right here thinking you wouldn't even notice. And maybe we didn't, you know?
Let's watch Tom and Jerry now.
T- Tom no longer wins.
Yeah, Tom can't win at all in these, so that's out. No, neither can the viewers' eyes.
Did I already say most voices on here are performed by Frank Welker?
Yeah, Frank Welker, who's not... It's a rare, not great... It's two people mostly on this, right? And one of them is Lou Scheimer. I think Lou's the one who's got the horrible screechy voice that he decides to give the character.
Hey, what's going on?
Kind of sounds like Weird Harold, who we'll talk about in a couple minutes.
Hey, you know, Adam, can I tell you how... Can I editorialize on how this made me feel?
Oh, yeah.
I've thought my whole life that the 1970s Tom and Jerry's were the absolute worst Tom and Jerry's. The ones that are in space and they're always making weird...
Oh, those are adorable.
But that's not true, because this is the worst Tom and Jerry ever. You know, it's far worse than those 70 ones. I never realized that as a kid.
I've seen pop-up books move more fluidly than this cartoon.
Yeah, it is slapdash.
It is crapdash.
Every single thing they do is derivative of something they did in the previous cartoon.
And the cells are dirty. Clean your cells, jerks.
Clean your cells up.
I watched the episode Kitty Hawk Kitty, which sees Tom and Jerry running through the Wright Brothers testing barn, where the Wright Brothers use cats and their contraptions as test dummies. Cool. What are you doing? So Jerry messes with the planes, with the plane plans, but just to make his own little paper plane to torture Tom while he fails in their test dummy run of their airplanes.
So the Wright Brothers weren't very cool.
They're jerks. They're abusing a cat over and over again. They're basically like, he's not dead yet. Well, here's how this plays out. They steal Jerry's plans and build a life-size model of his little paper airplane. And then Will and Orville have this exchange. Who's going to fly it?
Let's flip for it.
How about the cat? Are you kidding? Let's flip a coin.
They're just serial cat abusers.
Jerry ends up on the test flight, but then it goes great and Jerry makes history and Tom just like cries while he cuts himself. He just saws through his arm.
He becomes a cutter?
He just mouths. I wish I was dead. While he saws through his own tail.
He turns on Evanescence. So don't, you know,
the show gives me sad feelings.
If you're gonna look at Tom and Jerry, look at any other Tom and Jerry but this.
I've never seen a cartoon show look sick, but like the way, you know what it suffers from, going from theatrical beautiful fluid drawings and animation to the least possible. Droopy might actually kind of work in this environment, even though they just give him garbage like Bazooka Joe comics to read, basically. Oh man,
looks like hell. Most of the people involved are dead, right? So
testicular ache visual experience.
Yeah,
well, it can't get worse than that. Thank God it's one. It's Big Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. Are the Cosby Kids his illegitimate children?
No, they are not.
Is that why they all sound like him?
No. By the way, this is 1 p.m. This is pretty damn late in the day, isn't it?
Good God.
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock. You kids still watching cartoons. You're like, it's Bill Cosby, Dad.
Well, he's good for you.
And this is season 7 out of 12 not consecutive years.
This show used to be about things, right? Because it's just like a preachy nightmare at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick up those needles.
Did you watch the pot episode?
No, I watched the Nazi episode.
Oh, man. I should have watched that.
All right, I should have watched the pot one.
Damn.
What happens in that one?
Oh, my God. This girl named Patty is stoned, and they're...
What kind?
Oh, pot. You know, and
why are you acting so weird?
Lebesabit smoke blubbered. And
those cigarettes make you all hazy, lazy.
That's
going to
have an effect on your life. New cannabinoids, once heated, can even. No, I'm just kidding.
I burnt my lip on my joint, but.
Hey, man.
They're fun voices. Fun guy.
It's been on TV for 9 years at this point, and they're on season seven.
Golly gosh.
9 years, Adam. Can you believe it? Hey, Adam. Can
Do they get high in the episode, or they just shame the poor girl?
They do not get high, no.
Not even Rudy?
Then I don't believe so.
Rudy's usually our window into.
They shame the girl.
Of overdressed people who hang out in a junkyard.
Yep. Hey, did you know that Fat Albert started as a primetime special?
Right. Well, it was an animated version of his old classic bit where he called a kid fat. Then he had all of the people in old Bill Cosby routines are just like, and then we called him Pumpkinhead. Like, it's just a list of people we mocked based on their physical appearance.
Yeah. Hey, apparently before they had the theme song to the show,
screaming.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Apparently the special had an original song by Herbie Hancock.
What?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Fancy.
But anyway, so did you know that NBC passed on this show?
What?
Yeah, they said it was too educational.
Too educational? Well, yeah. I could see that. But why would that be a reason to not?
That's a quote. They didn't think it'd run on Saturday morning. They said this will not run.
I kind of wonder. This show makes some weird points for.
So the eye turned its gaze upon them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So in the Nazi episode,
wow, yeah.
So Rudy's pretending to be a cowboy, riding trash around like it's a horse, and then they accidentally send him flying into trash. Linda shows up, you know, their friend Linda, and tells Fat Albert she wants to talk to him. But then Fat Albert's like, "No time, bitch!" And they gotta go run. They gotta run back to the clubhouse to watch The Brown Hornet, which is a show within a show, starring Cosby as like a superhero. Kind of like the...
It's like Halloween and Halloween 3.
Oh, man. Oh, God. So he...
But also, Bill is in the gang.
That's right.
You know?
Bill, who was supposed to be Bill Cosby as a kid.
He's in the gang. And he's also in the live-action movie, which...
We'll
talk about that
later. They're watching The Brown Hornet, which also features Bill Cosby, his future self. They're eaten alive by a giant meatball, and they meet the evil Zamira, who's dedicated her life to creating a master race of purple people.
Oh no.
This reminds the Brown Hornet of Hitler. Mm. That's all. And then when he hears of her purple superiority, the audience laugh track goes off, because it's laughable. The Brown Hornet drills himself into the ground, coming up through the ground. Blah, 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 blah. They escape and are attacked by space hockey stars, and it's left on a cliffhanger.
Hey, Adam, did you know
pointless?
They eliminated the laugh track only for the final season.
Oh my God, they should have eliminated the show.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to Cosby. He knows it's uncool to feel superior to others. Right. Back at the junkyard, Rudy is playing Trash King, but ends up covered in junk. Linda comes back, even though they ran off on her, and tells Fats about her new club for special people. She's in the special people club. It's called the Double Cross. Cut to her and three skinheads walking with superiority, which the audience laughs at. Hey, gang! Keep moving. I don't want you playing with them because they're a different color. So subtle. At school, Fats confronts Linda at the water fountain. I'll level... George doesn't want me to hang out with your gang. Fat Albert immediately knows why this is true, because
he's a Nazi.
The sad typicality of feckless cunts like Linda. A friendly priest describes the Holocaust to Fat Albert and subsequent ongoing harassment. He shows Fats his wrist numbers and cut to Cosby explaining the number system in the Holocaust. George the Nazi is painting Latinos Go Home when Fat Albert comes up, so he changes it to Blacks Go Home. It tries to start a fight with Fat Albert, but ends up with his dumbass head stuck in a paint bucket.
Oh no.
I don't know about this whole thing, Linda says. We're gonna put the fear in everyone, George says as he climbs up the synagogue to deface it. Jeez. Which is the line for Linda. So she goes to Fat Albert for help. George falls and is hanging from the side of the building. And his Femi two friends run away, but the junkyard gang comes to his rescue. Cosby condemns this as they should have waited for the proper authorities. George is arrested, and Linda apologizes to Fat Albert for that little trip down racist lane she took, who welcomes her back with fat arms. Cosby warns us to look out for fast talkers like George and his Nazi friends. Fast talkers.
That's a weird... I never would have put it that way, but...
fast-talking racists. Who,
they've got silver tongues.
Next thing you know, you got all their kids locked up in a Walmart and...
Hey, Adam.
Oops.
Did you catch the live-action film?
I did.
I heard it shows his grave in the end.
Fat Albert's?
Yeah, yeah, and they're all old.
He's got to be dead. Yeah, they...
So weird.
I so was looking forward to the Fat Albert movie because I thought they were going to pull a Brady Bunch and have Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids go to a real, like, rough neighborhood, like in contemporary culture. And
but
then
have
to hear real rap and, like,
I read they
people
jumped.
With guns and, like, have to deal with, like, gangster culture.
No,
I thought that would blow their minds. It would be hilarious. Instead, they kind of zap into family matters. And Fat Albert can really run fast, which I don't remember that, but...
Weird.
Weird way to go. I don't think they'll be making another Fat Albert movie.
No, I don't think...
Or anything Fat Albert related.
I was reading some quote Cosby said. It was like 2013 or something. He was like, I think there could be something that people are working on to see Fat Albert come back. And I was thinking, well, not anymore.
Yeah, I mean...
That's fine.
Pull a one day at a time. Change the race and switch the genders.
Yeah, I agree.
It's always helpful.
Honestly, there's like 9 seasons of Fat Albert. What more do you want? There's plenty out there.
Yeah, and I'm surprised neither one of us picked the one where they get scared straight and they go to prison and they like threaten to take a poke at Fat Albert.
No.
In the Cosby Kids.
It's too preachy. Hey, I like the Brown Hornet ship.
Wait, what did it look like?
It looks like a lightning bug, kind of like a bug.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, because he's like a hornet. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Wow, this show was on for way too long.
I will say this about Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. It sure was funny when they walked. All the money went into their walk cycles, and then they would just stand around. So they would always walk in hilarious ways.
Yeah, did you know that the gang was created by a former Disney designer?
What?
Yeah, a lady named Michelle, actually. And she created the gang, and she also did a painting of the whole gang that appeared in TV Guide prior to the first premiere of
Fat
Albert.
Out.
Yeah, pretty interesting, huh? So that's why they look pretty good.
The Cosby Kids. That's such a weird moniker.
The Cons. Yeah.
I like Russell. He's the one who's like, blah, blah, blah. He's the one that's always like, you're like school in summertime. School in summertime. No class. Like, and then the audience will go,
It's too preachy.
It's the creepiest audience
it's
ever.
It's too preachy. I can't really recommend it. I don't think you're going to enjoy it.
Weird Harold's fun, too.
Yeah.
Why do I wear this hat?
I guess his face looked weird. We never really find out.
And they called him Old Weird Harold.
Old Weird. Weird. Old.
In the movie.
He's wielding his elderly age.
Weird.
That's the secret under there is he's an old lady.
It's all very bizarre.
No one ever asked.
This is going to come up again. It was on so damn long. You know what I'm saying? We're going to see this again.
So, this was the worst lineup I've had to watch yet.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Adam. We took a bye week. We took a week off, and so we had 2 weeks to deal with these shows.
And it's still, I couldn't get it all done in time because I was like, I just don't want to.
No,
God,
this is the worst. I agree.
Please,
I agree. This is the worst lineup yet.
And like 2 hours, we're easily out of this. So
I was like, you know, sadly, I was like,
oh, man.
I was like, maybe I'll love Black Star. Nah.
Blame it on the Black Star.
Yeah, I thought the Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro was...
I thought it was going to be cool, too. Because I knew, like, Private Olive Oil was going to be like, okay, that'll be interesting.
CBS is going to lose when we have our wrap-up show next time, and we face every time slot. CBS is going to lose everyone. You know it?
Boom, boom, boom. Next
week, we got Amazing Spider. We got Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Hey, Fat Albert's going to win because no other things are on at one. So.
Yeah. Oh, right. Good point.
It wins by default. By the fat.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing in this lineup. There's something called 30 minutes, which is like half a 60
I believe
minutes.
That's half an hour.
Yeah. I think it's like half a 60 minutes episode.
Well, in the 80s, 30 minutes is 60 minutes. Well, we don't have time, baby.
By 1:30, you need to get your ass up.
All of us yuppies need to continue into the night. This is Adam Fair. You can catch me at Adam Fair Land on YouTube, where you can subscribe to this podcast here.
Yeah, and this is Dusty Griffin. You can find me at Dusty is Certifiable on Instagram. And also check out everysaturdaymorning.fun.
Fun.
Yeah, and we'll be there'll be easy links to our YouTube episodes there that'll take you right to.
All right. That sounds top drawer. Well, we'll continue into 1981 next time, cats. See y'all later.